Believers Conference years ago, and I've never forgotten it, where Kenneth Copeland made a statement. He was talking up front, and he said, "I don't want any of you to believe anything that's coming out of my mouth." And we all kind of sat there. He said, "I want you to take what I have said. I want you to go into the Word. If you can find it in the Word, believe it. If you can't, don't believe it." He said, "I am not responsible for what any of you believe. It is your job to go into the Word, to find it there. And if you believe it, it's because the Word of God says it, not because Kenneth Copeland says it." That's not often quoted when his name is spoken about. I want to say the same thing to you today. I'm going to share some things that God laid upon my heart today, but I'm going to ask you, after we're done, I'm going to ask you to go into the Word. I'm going to ask you to check it out. I'm not going to ask you to believe it because I'm saying it. I'm going to ask you to believe it only if you go into the Word and find out it lines up with the Word of God. Then I challenge you to believe it. But I'm going to share some things with you today that, well, can I just say, first of all, what I'm going to share today, I am so thankful again. I look around the room. I'm so thankful we don't have any visitors who are non-believers today. Because non-believers are not going to be able to pick up what I'm going to share today. What I'm going to say today is meant for believers. What I'm going to share is meant for those who are followers of Christ. What I'm going to share is meant for those who have the Spirit of God inside of them. A non-believer would not be able to pick up what I'm going to share today. And so that was one of my prayers, is today, God, don't let a non-believer walk into our building. I don't pray that often, but I did today. Before we begin, I need to lay a bit of a foundation. How many of you have seen the movie Invictus? All six of us. It's one of those I want to encourage you this next week. I want you to make it your homework. It's a true story based on the Nelson Mandela story. In South Africa, after 28 years in jail, he came out. They had an election for the first time. The blacks in Africa were able to vote. They came out en masse. Nelson Mandela was elected into power. There was a whole change in government. If you have any questions about that, you can come and ask Sharon after the message. But this movie is about when he first came into power, some of the things he did in order to transform that country and bring it to a place where the whites and the blacks could begin working together as compared to being divided. Is it perfect? It's not perfect at all. But Nelson Mandela made some decisions that were quite profound. Some of us remember when he died. It was amazing the impact he made not only on South Africa, but his impact around the world. If you ever get a chance to read or listen, I encourage you to do that. But I want to play a clip this morning, and I'll point out after I'm finished, but there's a few things. It was really interesting. When Nelson Mandela was alive, he was approached, and there were people who said, "We'd like to make a movie about you." He said, "The only way I will do it is if Morgan Freeman plays me." That was his condition. And so Morgan Freeman plays Nelson Mandela. Just watch the clip. Can we have number 1, 2, and 3 down, please?
Both units to their cast right now. Go. Go.
What do I tell the Japanese trade delegation?
I delegate that decision to you.
You want me to inform the VP?
No.
We should at least include the Minister of Sport.
No.
I strongly advise against doing this, especially on your own. It gives the impression of autocratic leadership. You risk alienating your cabinet and your party.
Your advice is duly noted.
Madiba, the people want this. They hate the Springboks. They don't want to be represented by a team they cheered against all their lives.
Yes, I know. But in this instance, the people are wrong. And as their elected leader, it is my job to show them that.
You're risking your political capital. You're risking your future as our leader.
The day I am afraid to do that is the day I am no longer fit to lead.
At least risk it for something more important than rugby.
Tell the boys I want to go to Easter's very fast.
We, the executive, would like to applaud you for your diligence and your courage. Please, join us in our anthem. Members of the choir, we would only interrupt such beautiful music for something truly important. Please welcome President Mandela.
Brothers, sisters, comrades, I am here because I believe you have made a decision with insufficient information and foresight. I am aware of your earlier vote. I am aware that it was unanimous. Nonetheless, I believe we should restore the Springboks. Restore their name, their emblem, and their colors immediately. Let me tell you why. On Robben Island, in Polsmoor Prison, all of my jailers were Afrikaners. For 27 years, I studied them. I learned their language, read their books, their poetry. I had to know my enemy before I could prevail against them. And we did prevail. Did we not? All of us here, we prevailed. Our enemy is no longer the Afrikaner. They are our fellow South Africans, our partners in democracy. And they treasure Springbok rugby. If we take that away, we lose them. We prove that we are what they feared we would be. We have to be better than that. We have to surprise them with the compassion, with restraint, and generosity. I know. All of the things they denied us. But this is no time to celebrate petty revenge. This is the time to build our nation using every single brick available to us, even if that brick comes wrapped in green and gold. You elected me your leader. Let me lead you now. Who is with me on this? Who is with me?
I want you to hear what the Lord's laid in my heart. There is a movement that has begun in Western Canada as a result of the election. Anybody know the name?
Wexit.
Wexit. A couple weeks ago, before last Sunday, I looked it up and found out that in that short period of time, there was already 236,000 Albertans who had signed their name to the Wexit petition. This past week, I received a phone call encouraging me to become part of the Wexit group, to call about separating Alberta from Canada, talking about separating Western Canada from Canada. And I want to quote Nelson Mandela. I believe the people who signed that petition have signed it with a lack of information. I believe they do not have sufficient information with what they are doing. I want to say this really clearly, and I said it earlier. A non-believer is not going to understand what I'm going to share today because they will not understand the things of the Spirit that I'm going to tell you. It requires a person of faith to understand this. So I want you to know when any non-believer signs that petition, I understand why they sign it because in the flesh, my flesh has thought of it as well. But unless our spirit man has the ability to override the flesh, we're no different than a non-believer. And so I want to share with you what God has laid upon my heart. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. They are not led by emotion. They are not led by reaction. They're not led by false prophet. They're not led by the wisdom of men. They're not led by what seems logical. They're not even led by what at times seems right. That is not what leads a believer. What leads a believer is the Spirit of God. And what the Spirit of God tells them to do, they will do. Whether they agree with it or not, whether they understand it or not, because they have heard the voice of the Lord, they will do it. Let me quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding or someone else's understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. For the sake of time today, I'm not going to write it down, but I want to say it so those of you listening can get it, and if you go back, you can get it if you have a piece of paper. I want to write down for you, I want to say for you, what the results of our election in Canada were. How many of you went online and actually looked at the results of the election? How many of you went online? If you haven't done it, I encourage you. I'm going to read it just for the sake that it's there. The Liberal Party in 2015, had 184 seats. This last election, they had 157. The PC Party in 2015 had 99 seats. In this last election, they had 121. The NDP Party in the last election, they had 10 seats. Sorry, they had 32 seats. This time, they had 10. And the Bloc in the last party had 24 seats. In this election, they had 44 seats. If I had time, I would show you in the board. I don't have time. What I want you to hear, the Liberals in popular vote had 33.1%. The PCs had 34.4%. The Liberals had 5.9 million votes. The PCs had 6.1 and a half million votes. You can look that up. What I want to show you is this. As a result of the election, and I'm sure all of you heard it, there were those after the election who were absolutely devastated, and there were those who were absolutely elated. That shouldn't be surprising because in every election, it is exactly the same. What I found fascinating is I can't tell you the number of believers who came and they were absolutely devastated, absolutely almost in depression, going, this is horrible. We prayed, we prayed, we prayed. And as a result of the election, they looked over here and said, this is disastrous. There were even some people, and you've heard it on the news, who are talking about leaving Canada because of what took place. I got no problem with a non-believer doing that because they're led by their logic, they're led by their flesh, they're reactionary, the spirit of the world moves them. I'm absolutely appalled when a believer is moved by that as compared to the Spirit of God. I want to tell you a couple things that when you're in this category that you don't see. I know what we prayed. I know what I was believing for. And just because there was not one giant step on the moon the way we were hoping, that doesn't mean that there was not one step in the direction that we were praying. I'm going to say it bluntly. The liberal left lost the majority. I was elated. The conservative right was raised by 22 seats. I was elated. We now have a minority government. I was elated. All of the subcommittees at the government level are no longer dominated by the liberal left. I was elated. The door now is open for an investigation into our prime minister's past actions. I was elated. And we are now in a position for our prime minister to be held accountable with an investigation being called, with the possibility of charges being laid, and the possibility of imprisonment coming. And can I say this? Does anybody know the average length of a minority government? Between 1 year and 17 months. I'm elated. Something the Lord laid upon my heart that I'm going to ask you to consider today. And again, I want to reinforce it. You do not do this because I'm saying it. You go into the Word. You listen to the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God tells you something different, that trumps anything I'm going to say. If the Spirit of God confirms it, then you believe it because of the Spirit and not me. I want to ask you to consider a few things before you choose how you're going to respond and how you respond to people who are approaching you on the internet, on your phone, in the coffee shop, asking you if you are a true Albertan, you put your name on the Wexit form. Jeff, if you would shoot up number one, I'd like you to write down a few things. Number one, would you write down just the word remember? Would you write down the word remember? And I asked Jeff to put on the screen a statement because I'd like you to get it so that you can write it down. It doesn't just apply to politics. It's this: don't ever doubt in the darkness what God showed you in the light. Unless you have a photographic memory, I challenge you to write it down. Don't ever doubt in the darkness what God showed you in the light. I want to tell you in marriage, in my marriage, what God showed me in the light is that Jane was the person I was to marry. I had peace about it when we got married. It was confirmed by other people around us. We made a covenant when we stood at the altar and said, I do. But I want to tell you, our marriage was not without conflict, was not without trouble, was not without those times where it's like, did I marry the right person? Did I make a mistake? Did she make a mistake? And the thought hits you, you have not been married unless this thought hits you. The thought hits you that goes, maybe I was wrong. Maybe this was not the right person. Maybe I need to leave. Maybe there's someone out there who's better for me. I want to tell you, if we ever forget what God gave us in the light, there will be nothing that holds us in the hard times. It was in those hard times, those troubled times, those difficult times, God took me back and showed me what he said in the light. And he said, Colin, this is the woman I chose for you. That held me through a time when most marriages are crashing. Can I make it a little more personal? Have you ever known any pastor who has quit the ministry? You can't be a pastor without going through hard times, without people attacking you, without people saying negative things about you, without the rumor mill just going on and on. Let me tell you, don't enter ministry if you're going to be affected by the opinions of men. Because the opinions of men, there are people out there who love me, and there's people out there who would love to see me die. And I got everything in between. Can I tell you, during some of the incredible difficult times that I've gone through in ministry, the Lord called me back to the call and said, don't doubt in the darkness what I showed you in the light. Let the call hold you. And that call holds you through the tough time, and you come out of it, and you come back again, and you go, thank you, God, for not letting me crash, not letting me fall, not letting me become a statistic. Can I tell you the exact same is true when it comes to a nation? I want to ask you this morning, what was the beginning of our country? Can I ask you, what were the prophetic words that have been spoken over this country when it first began, and the prophetic words that have been spoken over this country all down through time? I don't expect any non-believer to have any comprehension of that. But let me tell you, when God has spoken prophetic words over this country, that means this country is meant to be together and not divided. Let me ask you, what is the role or the call of this country in the world? Canada has a call. There is a calling that God has put on this country, in the entire world. There is a call that we are meant to perform in these days and in the latter days. There is a call that requires this nation to be united and not divided. If you have no concept of the call, you can totally be on the side of division, totally be on the side of separation, totally be on the side of ripping this country apart. But if you know its beginning, and you know the prophetic words, and you know the call, you cannot join a force of division. A non-believer will not understand this. It takes someone with the Spirit of God. I want to tell you bluntly, and I want to say this really clearly, because after we leave here today, when we go forth, we are going to be bombarded by people who speak negative, bombarded by people with division. We're going to have people come to us. They're going to approach us. We're going to be in a coffee shop. We're going to be in a family meeting. If we are silent, we empower it. Unless we are empowered to rise up and speak a contrary word, we're going to join them instead of countering it. I want to say this to you. If we forget the big picture and we only react to the here and now, we fall into the category of what the Bible calls a fool, which is a person who thinks in the immediate as compared to a person who looks at the big picture. The wise man sees the beginning and the end. The fool sees in the moment, oh my goodness, they're back in power. Let's separate. I want to tell you, every non-believer, I understand the Wexit movement in the flesh. It's yes. But for believers, when we see the big picture, when we know the biblical beginning of this nation, when we understand the prophetic words that have been spoken and are still yet to be fulfilled, when we know the call of this nation by God for this nation and the world, we cannot become a force of division. There's a famous verse in Jeremiah chapter 29. Anybody know what verse it is? Jeremiah 29, 11. We all know it. Can anybody tell me the verses before it? Most of us can't. That's just the way it is. Can you tell me John 3, 15? Most of us can't. I understand. That's just the way we are. For the sake of time, I want you to write this down. I don't want you to look it up. I've got it, but I want you just to write down Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. When you go home today, I want to encourage you to read all of Jeremiah chapter 29. This is the deal after the Jews. They were taken into captivity in Babylon. Jeremiah prophesied that they would be there for 70 years. They went into a godless country. They were under a godless government. They had a godless leader. But the instructions of the Lord, what to do in that environment, I got to just read for you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4. And I want you to hear this. These are the instructions of the Lord in a pagan country under pagan leadership. Listen what he says. Jeremiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, said to all of those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Who is saying this? Who is saying this? The God, Almighty God, the God of Israel. Listen what he says. Verse 5, build houses and settle down. plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number. Do not decrease. Also, listen to this. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams that they encourage you to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Let me break it down for you. What does the Lord say? Verse 7, he says, seek for the peace and prosperity of the city to which I carried you. In this government, the call of God is for you and I to seek and work for peace and prosperity of our city, of our province, of our nation, even under a godless leader. That is what we're called to do. Look at the last part of verse 7. It says this. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, what? You will prosper. Pray for the godless nation. Pray for the godless leader. Because if it prospers, you will prosper. And then I want you to look close at verse 8. It says this. Do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. They are prophesying lies. I'm going to say something pretty darn clear. Would you write down number 2, false prophets? We are in a day today where there are people who are prophesying falsely about our province, about our nation. And unless we have the Spirit of God inside of us, we're going to be deceived by it and we'll become part of the enemy's plan and not part of God's. I want to answer a question. First of all, what is a false prophet? Would you hear me clearly? Any person who speaks something into a circumstance that is different from the will of God, that is a false prophet. If the Lord says, do not serve idols, and someone says, it's totally fine to serve an idol, that is a false prophet. If the Lord says, repent, you are sinning, and someone goes, that's not a sin, you can keep on doing it, that is a false prophet. If the Lord says, you're going into exile, and someone says, no, you're not going, you're going to be safe, that is a false prophet. If the Lord says, I want Canada united from coast to coast, and someone comes and says, let's divide this nation apart, that is a false prophet. I find it fascinating that we as Canadians stand up and we sing, stand on guard for thee. We're standing on guard from the enemy without. We know that. We stand on guard from the enemy without. But can I tell you, we need to stand on guard from the enemy from within. I want to tell you what you already know. There have always been false prophets. There will always be false prophets. That is never the issue. The issue is, who am I going to choose to believe? The issue is, do I have the discernment to know who is speaking from the Lord and who's not speaking from the Lord? The issue is, am I hearing clearly enough myself from the Lord so I can pick out the false ones from the true ones? I would love an opportunity to sit down with a 250,000 of people who have signed their name to destroy this nation. I would love a moment to sit down with them. I believe that if anybody knew the big picture, if they knew the words of the Lord over Canada, if they knew the prophetic words that are yet to be fulfilled, Wexit would not even make it to the table. It would never come out of the mouth. Would you write down number 3? Would you write down spirit of division? In Jude verse 17 to 19, it says this, there is a spirit of division. There are men and women who have a spirit of division. Can I say this to you? There are literally spirits of division. Some of you have experienced those in your own families, that there's a person who comes in, they open their mouth, and they simply create division and contention and strife all around them. All you have had to do is be a church for a short period of time, and do you know that in every body of Christ, the enemy has come and has brought people with a spirit of division, people with a spirit of strife, and if they are given free rein, they can divide churches. Can I tell you? Churches are being divided all across this world because of a spirit of division. Mark chapter 3, verse 25 says this, if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. Can I tell you, if a nation is divided against itself, that nation will not be able to stand. That applies to marriages, that applies to families, that applies to business, that applies to churches, that applies to governments, that applies to countries, that applies to Canada. Just because in the moment we experienced an election that was not what we were hoping it would be, and we have a leader who is not able to unite a country, just because in the moment that's what happened, can I tell you, that is not the last chapter in Canada's book. All you got to do is read the Old Testament and you find out over and over and over Israel went through this. Israel went through it over and over. They had a godly leader. They had an ungodly leader. They had a godly leader. They were taken into exile. They came back, had a godly leader, ungodly leader. Can I tell you, the enemy tried really hard to destroy the nation of Israel. Praise God. After 2,000 years, he brought it back together again for these latter days. What God has put together, let no man or false prophet put asunder. I just want to say this to you very carefully. The enemy is going to use the mouths and the words of many unknowing, ignorant, uninformed people out there. Can I challenge you? Do not let the enemy use your words. We are called to be people who speak life and not death. We're called to be people who speak unity and not division. We're called to be people who quote God's words and not the disgruntled words. When any person opens their mouth, something is going to come out. And in this area, it is either going to be unity or it is going to be division. I want to make a commitment to you. And every person under the sound of my voice, wherever they're listening, I commit to you, when I open my mouth about this province and this nation, all you will ever hear is unity. You will hear the words of the Lord. You will hear the prophetic statements made over this nation. You're going to hear life over this nation and not death. I commit that to you. I want you to write down five things in response. I can't ask non-believers to do this, but I can call upon every believer to do this because we have the Spirit that can make us do it. Would you write number one, give thanks? Isn't it funny that only 2 weeks before we talked about Thanksgiving, we talked about how in every circumstance we're to give thanks? Wouldn't it have been amazing when the election results came that every believer in Canada began giving thanks in this circumstance? Wouldn't that have been amazing? Instead of the begging and the complaining and the disgruntlement and the division and the separation, if every believer would have began giving thanks, being able to see God moving powerfully in a certain step direction, that we began thanking God for what just took place? I challenge you to go to the Lord and say, Father, in the midst of this, the result of this, what is it I can be thankful for? And when I hear from you, I'm going to begin giving thanks. I had one believer approach me and they were absolutely distraught before they even got so much out of their mouth. I turned around and I looked at them and I said, I am so absolutely ecstatic about what happened. And I just began pouring out thanksgiving. And they just kind of sat there, they just kind of shut up, and their tail went between their leg and they walked away. I really didn't care. Oral Roberts used to turn his back on anybody who is negative and small thinking. We need to turn our back onto anything that is divisive and destructive to the nation of Canada. Turn your back. I will not empower you to spew your false prophetic division words in my presence or my family or my home or my church. I will not. I challenge you to find what you can give thanks for and begin giving God thanks. Would you write down number two? I challenge you to continue to pray. I challenge you to pray for unity. Faith prays for what's not yet as though it already were. I challenge you to pray for unity. I challenge you to pray for exposure. God, would you pull the blankets off of all that's taken place in secret and in private? Would you pull the blankets off and bring it all to the light? I challenge you to pray for the prosperity of our nation. God called the Israelites to do that in Babylon. Pray for Babylon's prosperity, because if they prosper, you will prosper. I challenge you to pray for peace. In the midst of all the upheaval and all that's going on, I challenge you to pray for peace. That's what God the Almighty said. Israel, pray for peace in that pagan nation. Pray for peace in Canada. And I challenge you to pray for our leaders. I'll tell you, we're not going to stop praying for our leaders in Canada. We're not going to stop in this church. I don't care who the leaders are. We're going to pray. We're not going to criticize. We're not going to judge. We're not going to put down. We're going to pray. Would you write down number three? Would you write down prophesy? We know this already. The flesh declares what is. Doom and gloom. The flesh will declare what is. In marriages, those people who function with the flesh, they just declare what is. Declaring in the flesh has killed. Can I tell you? Faith declares what's not yet as though it already were. I declare this country is united under God. I prophetically declare this country is united under God. I declare that this nation is fulfilling every prophetic word that has been spoken over it. I declare that this nation is more unified than it has ever been since its creation. I declare this nation comes back to its calling from the very beginning. I challenge you to begin to prophesy in the presence of a divisive spirit. I'm not saying it's popular. I'm saying it's powerful. Would you write down number four? Work for the peace and prosperity. Would you write down work? The Almighty God said in the pagan nation, work for the peace and prosperity of this nation. Work as unto the Lord. Can I tell you? We are not called ever to work because we have a crappy leader that I'm not going to work very hard. I have a crappy boss, therefore I'm not going to work hard. Can I tell you, as believers, we rise above that. We can have a crappy boss, and yet I'm working as unto the Lord. Work for the peace and prosperity of this nation. That is the call of God on a believer's life. And would you write down number five? Just write down the word live. Live as the light of the world. Live as the light of the world. We talked about this before. When Elijah killed the prophets of Baal and he went off and he got hit with a spirit of discouragement, depression, he's going, God, just kill me. God, just kill me. He goes, I'm the only one left in this nation who hasn't. God goes, no, you're kind of deceived. The veil's come over you. He goes, there are 7,000 who have not bowed their knee. You're not alone. There are those who have continued to rise up, those who are still lights in a dark place, those who have not compromised, those who are not worshiping idols. There are those who will always, doesn't matter who's in leadership, doesn't matter what's going on, there will always be those who live and they are the light in a dark place. That's who we're called to be. I will not change my character because I'm disgruntled by a result. My character is determined by the Lord who does not change whether our government is what we want it to be or not. Have you ever worked in an environment when the boss walked out the door that people started slacking off? You ever been there? I used to fire guys like that. That tells me their true character. They say the true character of a person is found by looking at what they do when no one's looking and when they think they'll never be caught. That's the revelation of a true character. My true character is not what's revealed to you on a Sunday morning. My true character is revealed by what I do in private, what I do at night when no one's around, what I do when Jane's not with me holding me accountable. My true character is when I'm alone with God. What comes out of me then? That's my true character. I want to tell you, I'm quite passionate about this, because when people in my church family are beginning to be affected by false prophets, when people in my church family begin spewing out of their mouth death and division instead of life and unity, when people under my influence, I believe, are being deceived and led away by the flesh as compared to having full knowledge of the words of God over this nation and standing for what God says. I get passionate about that. There was a time in Scripture when they used to kill false prophets. That wouldn't go over too well today, would it? But can I tell you this? I fully believe that I am to be an instrument of killing the words of false prophets. And I don't really care if 250,000 people who signed their name to divide this nation like that or not. I couldn't care less. Elijah was the minority, and he was right. And can I just say one more thing? When we are seduced into remaining silent, when we should be speaking out, the enemy wins. For some of us in here, we don't feel like we have the boldness to stand up and challenge the false prophets. But can I tell you, if they are speaking and spewing and we stand there and say nothing, everybody will go, well, their silence says they agree. If that's where you're at, you need a fresh anointing of the Pentecost Spirit, because it removes the fear from you, kicks you outside the door, and lets you be bold and no longer afraid of what people think. I believe we're to have a united nation, not a divided one. I hope the Wexit people make the mistake and phone me again. Chad? Hang on, Chad. I want people to hear what you're going to say.
I think coming up to Remembrance Day, we have to like really pray into this, because like looking at, on Facebook and stuff, I mean, Facebook is trash, obviously, and stuff can spread like wildfire. But like people are going to these events, these Wexit events, and they're flipping the Canadian flag upside down. And that's like huge disrespect to any person who has died for this country. And like, it's scary to see that in my lifetime, because I just never thought I would see that. But there's something you see out of the country, right? Not our own country. And it is scary. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen come Remembrance Day, because it could be not so cool.
Well, can I just say this? I have no control over what anybody else will do on Remembrance Day. I have 100% control over what I'm going to do on Remembrance Day. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on Remembrance Day watched everybody around them bow to that golden statue, they stood. They stood. I'm going to stand. Hang on, Emily. We've got to hear what you have to say.
At this time, I also believe there's division in the Conservative Party. They want to get rid of Scheer. And I think we need to pray about that too, because though he didn't win the election, at least he got a lot of seats for us. And some people are very dissatisfied with his performance. And I think we should pray for unity in that party.
Yeah. So can I just, again, you need to go to the Lord on this. Let me just say this. In a couple of weeks, the Conservative Party is going to have meetings, and the talk is about removing Scheer. And let me tell you why. Scheer took a position, and I think we're all aware of it, when he was approached, and they always do this with conservative leaders. They came to him and they said, what's your position on abortion? Anybody know how he answered? How did he answer? Yeah, he said, personally, I'm pro-life. But he goes, as a political leader, I will not open the door and have debate over what has been put in place. There are some people who have went, that is awesome. He has confessed he's pro-life and he's not opening the door. There's other people who go, what an absolute hypocrite that if you're pro-life as a leader, that you're not going to move that into your nation. Can I tell you, we need the Spirit of God on this. If Andrew Scheer is the man that God wants empowered to lead the Conservative Party and to unite this nation, he better stay. If he's not the man, then he better go. Nobody can tell you what to do other than the Spirit of God when it comes to this. But can I just say, if it's God's will that at this point he be removed and a new leader come into power that can do better, we better be part of that. And if God is saying this is the man to stay, quell all the division, and empower him so that he can become the leader, we better be behind that. Let me just say, for any person who doesn't hear spiritually, they should just sit down on the bench. They should just sit down. Because this is a day for those who are hearing the voice of the God, who are led by the Spirit of God. They're the ones who need to be the leaders who lead this nation. If you're not hearing, just sit down and shut up. Anybody else? Evangeline.
We need to pray for the unions as well. Regardless whether I want to or not, I have to be signed up underneath Unifor, which is a union that covers my workplace. And they invested over $1 million in convincing people to vote for the Liberals.
That's right.
So we need to bring them before the Lord as well, because they are completely non-conservative.
Yeah. Yeah. I just said this to someone the other day. Isn't it beautiful that we don't need people's permission to pray for them? I'm not the sharpest knife in the block, I'll tell you that. But I used to say to people, would you be open if I prayed for you? And if they said no, I had to respect that. I don't ask that anymore. I don't. For those of us who went to Israel, we know that on the Temple Mount, it is illegal, it is against the law to pray to God on the Temple Mount. It is against the law. You want to begin an antifada or an uprising, all you do is be a Jew, go onto the Temple Mount and begin to pray. And it happens all the time. And all of a sudden, they begin hollering and chanting. They did that when we were up there the one time. But I still prayed on the Temple Mount. I did. Because the law of God, to me, is higher than the law of man. I prayed. They can force you to be union. If you're going to work there, they can force you to be union. They can't force you behind the little cardboard when you're putting an X on the ballot. Sharon.
I just want to say thank you to Pastor Colin, because this has been heavy on my heart too. You spoke what's on the Father's heart, because I've been praying about this a lot too, and I just first want to encourage you. I'm not sure of the number exactly, but 20-something new people that got elected in the conservative seats are pro-life. So there's change coming, because any one of those can bring up the pro-life situation and get a vote on it.
That's right.
But we need more people like that in those seats. So let's pray for whatever happens, if this government lasts another year, whatever, let's pray when we do another one that pro-life, more and more pro-life people will be elected in the seats, because they are the ones that vote.
Yeah.
And so there's definitely progress in that department.
Yeah.
And I just also want to share that this vision that I saw about a week before the election, where, because I know that what God's heart is for this country is we are to be the healing to the nations. But at the moment, we need the healing.
That's right.
And I was praying in the spirit, and the Lord showed me how the angel stirred. It was like the angel was stirring Canada. And I saw that all the sediment at the bottom started rising, and the water became murky. And I sensed the Lord was saying that the corruption in that needs to be brought up. And I believe that's what's exactly happening now.
That's right.
Things are going to be released, and things are going to have to be dealt with before we can step into our destiny. So I believe this is all what God's got on his heart. So I just want to encourage you and say, this is only the beginning of what God's going to do. He's got great plans for this country.
That's good. That's very good. Dana, are you free to play quietly for a minute? I just want to throw one thing before we pray. Anybody aware of what's going on in America right now? Anybody aware?
Yes.
The impeachment process, the vote that took place. Isn't it fascinating that you have a leader in America who hasn't taken the middle road, but he's swung all the way over on this side with boldness, with absolute boldness? The entire demonic realm is absolutely terrified that this man is going to be responsible for overturning Roe versus Wade. The Supreme Court is in a position now to undo the abortion law of 1972 and bring the sanctity of life because of a leader. Every power of hell wants him gone. Oh God, have your way. Arnold?
That's exactly what was on my mind. We are so parallel with the United States right at the moment. And it's the abortion issue, but one of the promises he made, President Trump made, when he was campaigning for his election, he said, I'm going to drain the swamp.
That's right.
And I think that's exactly what's happening here in Canada. So thank you, Pastor.
Dana, could I have you play quietly? Would you bow with me? The very first thing when God moves in his people is he gives people the opportunity to right the wrongs, to undo what they have said or done in ignorance, to get back on track and to come in line with the will of God. I don't know since the election. I don't know what your thoughts have been. I don't know what your heart has been. I don't know the words that have come out of your mouth. I don't know what you have signed on any document with a pen. What I do know is that in a single moment, that can all be undone. What the Lord said to me this morning is, call him before the service ends. You just need to provide an opportunity for people to repent. Some of us may not need to at all. That's awesome. But if that need is there, I just want to provide a quiet moment between you and the Lord. And I want to say this. When the Spirit of God challenges us to rise up and to be a voice, and we choose to sit down and say nothing, that also is disobedience. That also requires repentance. God, you've called me to be a light and I've hidden under a bushel. God, you called me to be a voice and I've chosen to be silent. Whatever it is right now, would you take a moment if you need? Just take a moment to undo. And then I'm going to pray. Father, with eyes wide open, we are very aware of what the voice of division in a marriage can do. And all the fallout and all the damage. With eyes wide open, we are very aware of what the voice of division can do in a church family. With eyes wide open, we are very aware of what a voice of division can do inside of an earthly family, between siblings and parents. With eyes wide open, we are aware what a voice of division can do in a province and in a nation. And I thank you, Father, that you have given us your Spirit that allows us with eyes wide open to not only see it, to not only discern properly, but to have the authority to stand against it, to resist it in Jesus' name, to be a voice of truth in the midst of lie, to be a voice of unity in the midst of division, to be a voice of hope in a place where there is no hope, to be a light in a dark place, to be an instrument that is used by Almighty God to bring this nation into its destiny as compared to its demise. And so, Father, I thank you this morning for hearing the heart of those who have recognized their wrong by what they have done and by what they have not done, even though being called by you. I thank you that in a moment we can be forgiven. In a moment we can be restored. In the name of Jesus, I declare a harvest, a crop failure on every word of division spoken. And I declare that out of our mouths will only come life and healing and unity. As we stand on guard for this nation from the enemy from without, and the enemy from within. I release an anointing of the fear of the Lord upon this body today. that as we leave this place, in every place we go, in our work environments, in our families, in our schools, wherever we are, that we will have an opportunity to be prophetic, declaring your will over this nation, your will over this nation. I release the anointing of the prophetic over this body. We will not compromise. We will not shrink back. And we will not be silent. I thank you, Father, for what is happening in this nation today. I thank you that we are not in the last chapter. And I pray that our eyes would be open, that we would be able to see the signs and the times. We'd be able to see the movements. We'd be able to see what you are doing. And that in all of it, in accordance with your will, we would give thanks. We declare you to be the sovereign Lord over this nation. We declare you to be the God that unites what the enemy seeks to divide. And we declare you to be the one who fulfills every prophetic word that has been released over the nation of Canada. I thank you in advance for what we will see in our day. I declare to you today what you already know, that the Lord has blessed you and he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his beautiful face to shine on you and he has been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you and he has filled you with his peace. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving said, Amen. Have an awesome week.